Yes. That was beautiful. Well, welcome to April. Got a lot going on today. It's the first of the month. It's Happy Easter. It's April Fool's Day. It's all kinds of things. And we have a new monthly theme. It's called Our Dance with Divinity. I love that. It's playful, and I love that. And today is Easter, and today's talk is the divine form. Right? Okay, so here it is. The divine form, right? Here it is, the divine form, you know? You know how I keep it inflated to this size? Peeps. Marshmallow peeps. Do you know 700 million peeps are sold each year? I do my part. When you break those numbers down, that is 2.2 peeps for every man, woman, and child in the United States. So do your part, people. I can't eat them all. So the divine form is my form, but it's your form also. It's the form of everything in the manifest universe. The divine form is the manifest universe. It is everything that is in the physical world. Everything. So it's us. It is the grass under our feet. In fact, the very earth is holy ground because it is the body of God also. It is the physical outpicturing of a spiritual idea. And Jesus, well, he was the great example of what this divine form is capable of in the manifest world. It was the great example. You know, he was by no means the only example, right? We know this. The archetype as Savior has been around forever and ever and ever. You know, history is populated with the Savior archetype. It happened in every culture. Every sacred scripture had their own. Every religion had their own Savior archetype. Horus of Egypt was the Savior 3,000 years BCE. Mithra of Persia was the Savior archetype, and that was 1200 BCE. Krishna of India, 900 BCE. Dionysus of Greece, Jesus of Nazareth, and then Apollonius of Tyana came afterward. They were every single culture, every single religion, every single philosophy had its own Savior archetype. And all of these men, all of these saviors to their people, all had the similar story. We sat around as cultures and told the same stories about these men. They were all came from virgin births. They all spent time in solitude. They were all tempted by the dark side. They all began teaching, gained followers, had 12 disciples. Sound familiar? They were all persecuted and prosecuted and killed and spent 3 days dead, and then they come back and they ascend to heaven or to nirvana or to the afterlife or to whatever that culture assigned to it. The Savior archetype is alive and well. And we're just telling our own version of it right now. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, religious science does not deny the divinity of Jesus, but it does affirm the divinity of all people. It does not deny that Jesus was the Son of God, but it affirms all men and women are sons and daughters of God. It does not deny the kingdom of God is revealed through Jesus, but it also says the kingdom of God is revealed through you. This is the philosophy of religious science. We are the divine in form. We are our own saviors. And so here we have this great opportunity to look at this story with new eyes, to look at the Easter story from the metaphysical perspective, because it is a great story and it has so much to tell us. You know, it is a story of betrayal, right? Death, rebirth. It is one about evolving and growing. The story is about dying to the old and being reborn anew into a greater expression of what we are. Ernest Holmes again said this. He said, we believe the Christ comes to all alike. There is no one man that was predestined to become the Christ. We must understand that the Christ is not a person, but it is a principle. It is a principle. So last week we talked about the Palm Sunday story, right? And we talked about the symbolism of that. And so we're just going to continue along with that. So on Thursday, Jesus presided over what was the Last Supper, probably a Passover Seder, in which Jesus engaged in his spiritual community, being with like-minded people who support us on our spiritual journey. This is a great example for us. So then he speaks to the wine and the bread as his blood and his body. In fact, the entire physical world is the outpicturing of spirit, and that's really what he's saying, that the physical is merely a representation of the spiritual. He's raising this idea that there is a spiritual truth behind every physical manifestation. And Ernest Holmes said, "We know that there are bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial." And that's what he was saying. Behind every physical thing, there is that spiritual mental equivalent, that spiritual prototype. And so then after dinner, Jesus retreats, right, to the garden for prayer and for meditation. And the garden experience for us calls us to surrender. It is about yielding to a greater idea that spirit can show us. You know, when we are sitting in meditation, we are listening for that still small voice. And it is always a step up to a greater experience of what we've previously known about our lives or about us or about who we are. Right? Prayer is speaking into that one presence and directing the law to change effects or to change conditions around us, but sitting in meditation is receiving, listening for the still small voice. And so we have the opportunity to let go of a life that is familiar to us, a life that is safe and small for something greater yet to be. And we may not know what that is. But that garden experience, being open and available to hear that still small voice is important, is what the practice is. Because you can't understand a voice that you've never heard before. You can't hear a still small voice if you don't give yourself that opening, that time in the quiet, in the solitude, in your garden, to be able to hear and to receive. And what happens after that? Well, the garden is where the betrayal is played out, isn't it? The sacred wound occurs there. And Judas betrays him with a kiss. And who hasn't been there? Sorry. Right? I mean, who hasn't been betrayed, right? By a friend or, you know, somebody else, your coworker who takes credit for your idea, right? When he goes to the boss or your significant other dumps you for your BFF. You know, we do all sorts of interesting things. Someone tells the whole world something that you shared with them in confidence. Betrayals take many forms. Betrayal happens. And yet, betrayal is the divine play which moves us into our crucifixion. And sometimes we don't recognize the crucifixions of our own lives, or we don't recognize them for what they really are. They are gateways to higher consciousness. Crucifixions are gateways to higher consciousness. You know, and here's the interesting part. Sometimes we get hooked by the betrayal story. Sometimes we get hooked into the betrayal, crucifixion, betrayal, crucifixion. Anybody have that cycle happening in their lives? Right? It keeps going around, you know, betrayal, crucifixion, and we keep repeating the cycle. And we think that's the way it is. I'm always attracted to that kind of person. I always have a jerk for a boss. I always get in the slowest lane in the supermarket, right? Or I always get high or drunk or stoned after a hard day's work and then regret it the next morning. We get into these betrayal and crucifixion stories and we keep replaying them, replaying them. We become fascinated by our own story. And we don't move beyond the crucifixion to the resurrection, because that takes willingness. That takes strength. That takes awareness. Ernest Holmes said, "We love the idea of resurrection, but it's very difficult for us to unwrap the shroud of previous experience." We may not like our stories, but they're familiar to us. So we hang on to them. And we don't get to the resurrection part. We just keep replaying the betrayal and the crucifixion. It can be difficult to end an addiction or to let go of a habit or to release a false belief or to survive a breakup. But we have to get to the point where we let go. Surrendering to the unknown, at some point, surrendering to the unknown is less painful than holding on to the past behavior. So the sacred wound is a way of growing us. It's a painful way, but it's a way of growing us. And if we let it, it raises us up and it brings us to and through the crucifixion, and it brings us to the point of transformation. We must die to the old if we are to be reborn. There's just no other way. So the sacred wound kills off that part of us that is old, that is outdated, that is outgrown, that no longer serves us. And we transform. We transform. And that's what the cross is. The cross is also a symbol of transformation. It is that universal symbol representing wholeness within the tension of duality. Can you feel that? It is wholeness within the tension of duality. It reminds us that spirit will have its way with us. Spirit will emerge. It will crash through our self-imposed limitations in the physical world and transform us if we yield to it. So we must. We have to die to the old, and we have to find ourselves reborn. Resurrection happens. Resurrection happens on a regular basis if we let it, right? It'll happen on a regular basis if we let it. We continue to release what no longer serves us. And then we are born again into the new. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, "To practice the presence of God is to awaken within us the Christ consciousness. Christ is God in the soul of the human. The resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separated from God. For death is to the illusion alone and never to the reality." So that's what we do. We let go. We finally let go. We let go of the limiting ideas. We let go of the false beliefs. We let go of those things that are weighing us down. And we find we are freer for it. We die to the old ways once and for all. And then we emerge from the tomb at some point, don't we? We emerge from the tomb awake, aware, and at a higher consciousness. Every time we go through these resurrection events, we are reborn at a higher level, in a higher consciousness. We look back. How many times have we done this? We look back on those moments of betrayal, and we say things like, "I wouldn't be where I am now if it weren't for whatever, whatever, right, that happened in my past. I wouldn't be who I am now if this thing hadn't happened. Or I would have never learned this or that had it not been for whatever, whatever." Those are the betrayal moments. Those are the crucifixion moments. Because resurrection was never, even back then, even when the story was first told, resurrection was never about reanimating dead tissue. Just wasn't. It was never about resuscitating a dead body. It was always about awakening the living. It was always about that. Ernest Holmes said this: "We are not going to attain immortality. We are now immortal. Our contention is not that dead men live again, but that living human never dies." And that's what we're talking about. It is always a call for the living to continue to evolve. It is always a call for us to continue to practice resurrection in our own lives, dying to the old. What is outgrown? What have you outgrown? What is no longer appropriate in your life? What have you gotten all of the message from that you don't need anymore? Dying to the old and growing in consciousness to embrace a greater sense of self, a greater sense of God as us. This is the individual transformation story. The self as God, growing in consciousness, outpicturing as that greater human, becoming more self-actualized, becoming that more self-actualized spiritual person that you truly are, that is within us, that seed of perfection. And it's about dying to old limiting ways so that we can express more of the spiritual self that we are. To live in principle and to outpicture our Christ consciousness. That's really the story of Jesus. That's really the story of the death and the resurrection and the dying to the old and the embracing the new. Ernest Holmes, in his Easter Sunday talk, this is, you're going to love this. His Easter Sunday talk was April 1st, 1956. I love it, right? Here we are again. April Fool's Day. Anyway, he said this: as we sit in the wholeness of our spirit, it is our will and our purpose and our desire that everything we touch shall spring into its own resurrection, revealing its own eternal day, the pathway of its own future, guidance of the eternal good of love and the givingness of God. That's what we're here to do, and we do it all the time, don't we? Every time we outgrow something, we die to the old and we take on a new, even if we don't know what it is, when we surrender, we open ourselves up to that greater good. Maybe we just don't know what it is in the moment, but it becomes clearer as we take that next step and as we take that next step on our pathways. We break bread. We remember everything at the physical level is a mere outpicturing of a spiritual idea, a spiritual reflection of something. We go into our garden of meditation and contemplation and we surrender to that greater idea. We take on that Christ consciousness. We understand we are greater and that there is more for us to be in the world. And then we allow the betrayal and the crucifixions in our lives to be that gateway to higher consciousness. We allow it to be the gateway of higher consciousness. And then we emerge from the tomb resurrected. Resurrected. And we take on the mantle of the Christ consciousness that we are. This is the story of Easter. This is our path. This is our path. All of those men in history, they were all saying the same thing. The story, the mythology was all about the same story. And it was the story for us. It was the story for humanity. On a symbolic level, allow everything in your life to raise you up to a higher level. Allow the betrayals to align you to a higher cause. Allow the crucifixion to die to the old, the outdated, the outmoded, the things that don't work for you anymore, the things you're doing out of habit, the things you're doing out of addiction, the things you're doing because that's what your culture or your family did. We die to all of those old ways and we allow ourselves to be reborn. And then we emerge from the tomb, new, renewed. And we accept the mantle of the Christ consciousness that we are in our life. And then we are that for others. We are the light for everyone around us to be transformed in our presence. That's what the Easter story is about, and that is who you are. Happy Easter.